Saturday Night Comic Talk, and I think this is the, I'm not sure if it's the first time in the history of the library, but certainly since I can remember, just having one Dhamma talk a week for the most part, and that's very nice, for me at least. And yeah, we are in our winter retreat, and it's been 10 weeks, and there are a couple weeks left. So we turn to our regular monastery routine. So just thinking about that, you know, what is that? Is that, how do you experience that? You know, that sense of like 2 weeks left for those of us who are here, been here for these, this 3 month retreat. Likely there's probably some feeling. Could be, God, don't say such a thing, or I can't wait, it's just 2 weeks left, or I can't, just went too fast, I want it to be another 6 months, or whatever. There's probably many different reactions. But speaking for myself and my past history with retreats, I found that no matter what, whether it's a 1 month retreat or 2 weeks or 3 months like this, the mind begins to get a little bit more activated. You know, okay, wow, 2 weeks left, all right. And then what? And I just finished a 3 week solitary retreat. And I noticed for myself during that retreat, it took really an entire week to really settle, very much settled into the solitude. It wasn't, even though we'd been on retreat for a while, that sense of just being alone and the mind settling down, it can take a very long time. And I think it's because the mind, just gets, there's a lot of things that can set it off. You know, just speaking for how I see my own mind working, just kind of interactions and being with people or being in a position of responsibility, whatever it is, the mind can get activated, can get kind of very quickly spurned into activity, and that settling down can take a while. And so for many of us, I think Ajahn Janaka has been, I've heard him say this a few times, and it might have not registered with people. He said, oh, we are in a different state right now, a different experience. We might not know it, we might not be aware of it, but entering a retreat space like this, the mind does slow down, and even in just taking in the social aspect of others having the same inclinations and really trying to spend more time with formal practice, this is something that we pick up from each other, and just it ends up affecting us, even if things are not going well, and we don't think things are going well, and we believe everything's just terrible and it's not the way it should be, and my mind just won't settle down. It's more than likely more settled. So as this retreat time is coming to an end, we might want to have a sense of well, you know, it's just timeless, and you know, like you said, at the beginning of the retreat, for some of us, the retreat's already begun, and others of us it never will, and so it's just relative. But just looking into our own minds, you know, what is the experience now? Like, where are we with our own practice? And if we're finding that things are beginning to ramp up a little bit, you know, like, what am I going to do? And, you know, at the end of the retreat, what's, you know, what am I going to start doing in the monastery? Typical things for monks are like, I'm going to do it differently now. I'm going to be practicing at least, just sitting at least 8 hours a day, just really going for it, and I'll just sleep 3 hours, and you know, just walk, and learn my chanting, and do the Padimokkha, and on and on and on, becoming. For others, it's, you know, am I going to stick around? What am I going to do? Am I going to become a samanera? I'm not sure if I like this. How can I do this for the rest of my life? all kinds of things can come up. Some of the members of the retreat crew will stay on here, others will be leaving, and so, you know, there's a sense sometimes of what's next, what's happening. And if one isn't aware, if that's not happening, great. If you're feeling just really that everything's coasting and didn't even notice that there's 2 weeks left and time is just completely relative, and each day feels like it's, you know, 150 hours. Great. But if things are starting to be noticed, I mean, one thing I noticed is usually the springtime weather often feeds into this as well. So we're a bit lucky now, just dark. I mean, it's like rainy and wet and even snowed. But if the mind is starting to kind of get these kind of pings, these activations, then one thing that has possibly been helpful in the retreat is to just have seen into our minds very clearly, like to have had some moments of clarity where we see that we are going along with these activations, we're entering into them, we're getting excited by them, and then we actually turn away from them. Like, okay, not now. This isn't the right thing for me to engage in. And so, I guess what I'm getting at is, you know, are you still preparing yourself for how our tendencies usually lead us toward complication? And as we do get into some sort of a change or some circumstance, are you already starting to work in ways that you can, that you've learned over the last many years or a few months, whatever it is, to really quell that pleasure-seeking mind, or that becoming mind, that sense of like, what's going to happen next, and what am I going to do, and, you know, who am I going to be, what position am I going to have, and what job am I going to get, or where do I go from here? And it's always in. It's always just knowing what is present for us, and what's skillful for us, what's helpful for us. I have a ongoing debate with my mother, who's probably listening. And when we talk, she will tell me something about the news usually. And say, I know you don't know anything about this. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. And then she starts telling me how upset she is about something. And I said, Mom, I don't want to hear about it. I don't hear about it. Because it always gets me upset. You know, I can say almost 100%. Like, oh God, here we go. And I can see, yeah, so when somebody else tells me something, I can get upset. But then where is it that for seeing in my own mind, like, where do I seek those things that do get me upset, and I actually don't restrain from them? It might be pleasure, it might be aversion, it might be something, you know, some remarks that people say, and I want to know something about it, or whatever. The mind can automatically go towards that and not see, like, okay, this is not helpful. This is not a helpful thing. You know, when I think about, as I'm bringing this up, news and media, I think about what the Buddha said with associating with fools. And I can see in my own mind, like, whenever I've touched into paying attention to knowing about what's happening in the world, I don't usually feel happy. You know, I usually feel anxious or worked up. And maybe I'm just, some people can just get a good news feed or something, but I do hear sometimes from people saying, no, you need to know, you need to be informed. You need to know the truth, and you have to figure out, you know, who's telling the truth. And again, I think about that with what the Buddha said, don't associate with fools. Is there anybody who is reporting about what's happening in the world who's not a fool? I might be controversial in saying no. There is no one who is reporting about the news who's not a fool. There's no one who's in the media, there's nobody who's telling us about the world who's not a fool. What is a fool? A fool is somebody who is influenced by their greed, hatred, and delusion. do I believe there are any arahants, non-returners, once-returners, stream-enterers, who are reporting about the news, who are telling us about the world? I do not. I could be wrong. But it's not helping. It doesn't help. And we don't have much time. We don't have time to pay attention to something like what's happening in the world because we haven't perhaps quelled within our own hearts what's happening in this world right here, what's present within us. And so I think if we're really taking on the Buddhist teachings, then we need to know what is activating our minds, what is causing disturbance in our minds. You know, thinking about being like 85 or 90 years old and worrying about what's happening in the world, it's like, well, okay, just wish the world well, but take care of your mind, because that's all you got. You might, you know, you might have another good rebirth, but you might not. And so we have to know what is helpful for us. And hopefully on this retreat, we've been trying to pay attention to that more and more. And we've been able to influence ourselves towards the wholesome, towards recognizing this is something worthy of my time, this, you know, thinking about this, or, you know, bringing up clarity for myself. When I'm on retreat, usually a solitary retreat, a tendency I've seen for myself is I get angry about something and it becomes a theme, this sort of a verse or, you know, this person or some situation. And I can get lost in it in terms of believing it, and it becomes very believable, this content, this aversion, and then it can continue to manifest. And if I don't just remember, like, oh, this is just the garbage of the mind coming up, it's simply this sense of aversion, and I'm associating with my own foolishness by entertaining it, moving towards it, believing it, really believing it. So we probably have recognized these stories in ourselves for the last several months. We've been going through this the last several years, decades. If you remember past lives, that's wonderful. But the sense is like really, really knowing like, okay, I don't need to be caught by this. I don't have that much time, because getting caught by these things, it's just endless. It just goes on and on and on. And so when we turn towards the good, we turn towards what we see is will bring us peace and calm, wishing well, and thinking of others in a kindly way. Our minds begin to settle, and we turn away from these delusions and the hindrances. We turn away from them, and then the result is that we just start to enjoy that peace, and we enjoy that work with seeing, like, oh no, that's just foolishness. I'm just associating with one of these hindrances again, and I don't need to go there. And so the joy that can occur with long retreats like this is when we have more time for our formal practice, when we're around others that are really putting in a lot of effort in that way, then we start to gain momentum, and we see our ability, our skill develop within understanding our own mind and how to act wisely. So when I'm saying there's 2 weeks left, I think it's important to really think, like, what can we say that we've learned so far, and how can we really try to not get ourselves in the same kind of trouble we usually get ourselves into as we exit out of this retreat experience? What can we start doing now to remind ourselves? And usually it's not so helpful making lists of to-dos, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I found for myself, it's just, I've done it many years, and it's a bit, it doesn't, it's just sort of like this kind of thing of who I'm going to become, how good I'm going to be. But some things are helpful, some things to develop if we're looking clearly at what our patterns have been. When we pay attention to these patterns and we see, okay, like, I know this is usually what's going to happen for me in this situation. And so we say, like, okay, I can try to do this a little bit differently. It doesn't have to be a heroic act. It doesn't have to be, as I said, something like, you know, I'm gonna be mindful 24 hours a day even when I'm sleeping. It's just, okay, how can I just put in this one thing that will help me with this problem I'm having? And for each of us, it's a different reflection. It's different for each one of us. But we want to take this very seriously, and we want to kind of do it in a way that somebody who's an alcoholic or a drug addict would do. It's like, okay, I'm gonna really put my effort into not getting involved in this whole unwholesome activity, even if it's just a small thing. And we really try to keep that going, because we know that this momentum of change, it can overwhelm us sometimes, and we can lose that impetus. We can lose those good intentions that we have. And so we're reminding ourselves to, you know, to hold fast, to be our own best friend, and encourage ourselves in these ways. You know, whatever it is we're thinking, we're strategizing, we're trying to figure out, okay, how do I handle this? So for some of us, it might be something like, okay, how do I get less involved in speech, in kind of speech that's useless or not helpful? You know, how do I see that I'm seeking something through my own speech? I'm seeking some affirmation, or I like to make jokes, or you know, I want people to think I'm wise and clever. Whatever it is, you know, stepping back from that. Ajahn Sudhiro gave a talk about 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, about balance. You know, how do we understand how to balance our own mind, not just in our meditation, but in how we're relating to others in what we're doing. And it's, you know, rather than having somebody else tell you what to do, it's just helpful to look. This is the perfect time. There's been 10 weeks of really settling. And we can ask ourselves these questions. How do I get myself into trouble usually? What can I do this time to extricate myself from those situations? I think it's interesting that a lot of times it comes from complicating. I like that word a lot, because I think about some of the ways that I get involved in certain things in the monastery. I got involved before I was living in a monastery as well. It's just, they could be easily seen as just complications. And then I, you know, wonder, like, why am I anxious? Why am I worried? So one thing is always to check our expectations. You know, we have this teaching from the Buddha, and we hear it so much about anicca, not being sure and not being in control. And I can see often that when I'm in situations that I've become kind of, again, activated in my mind, I'm sort of upset about something, or I'm worried or concerned, that I can see, like, oh, because I was ignoring anicca, I was ignoring impermanence, I was ignoring the fact that I don't really have control. Like right now, I'm working with one of our lay supporters, and we were working on some thing together, and then he told me, well, yeah, 2 out of 3, it didn't quite work out for us. And we're back into kind of taking a few steps back, and I was genuinely disappointed. I was disappointed because I was really going through 3 out of 3. I was going through, yeah, it's going to work out perfectly, just how I want it. And that's the equation for dukkha. So we also need to continue to look at these thoughts that we have, these kind of inclinations we have, and feel like, oh, no, don't go there. That's pretty stupid. It's not going to work out the way you want. And I often think to myself, it never, like, that's almost, it's almost the unconditioned. The fact that it just never works out, because always there's something in our expectation that we have that will always be different than how it actually is. And sometimes we're happier, but then later we might be like, oh yeah, actually that wasn't good. And it's consistently always different. And so just identifying that and seeing in our minds when we're able to be on retreat like this, we can often see a little bit more clearly into that when this is coming up, these kind of experiences of ignorance or delusion, deluding ourselves. It's all going to work out. And so that's associating with another fool, because it's just foolishness. So as the retreat is wrapping up, and if that's a theme for some people, that's kind of coming up and around, and we're thinking about what's going to happen next, then just to really use that as an object of contemplation for yourselves. I know I've been thinking about that and working with that. Not so much a worry of like things changing, because it's happened so many times, but like, what's going to happen? What am I going to do about this? And how am I going to go about that? And it's just so helpful to stop and just, oh, wait a minute. It's, you know, what's happening in the mind right now? And how can I really take care of the mind so I don't get so wrapped up in this and lose this clarity, lose this wisdom, lose this ability to see more clearly that we've gained, this momentum we've gained during a retreat time like this. And so for us, you know, it's also a question like, well, how do I really keep this going? So that sense of rather than the retreat having already begun, like, how does it not end? And so indeed, for, you know, things will change in the mind, the quality, the experience of how we work with things and deal with speech and become more activated around guests coming and different situations and other people coming to the monastery, other people going. And, surely that will have an impact on the mind. But this is the time we can put those structures in place. We can really try to help ourselves in understanding like what it is we can do to keep the retreat going, to keep the kind of sense of the mind that's interested in the Dhamma and has a sense of, you know, like when there's an object of aversion, that's really what it is, rather than getting caught and like hooked into it. So I don't have too much more to say other than that. I hope that people are doing well and enjoying this time. It's quite a delightful experience. It's not always that way, but just to have this time, it's incredibly wonderful for the monastics to be given this opportunity to spend so much time with quiet and solitude, and to be given that offering through the resident retreat crew that's here and helping us in that way. So there's a lot of gratitude as well for that, for the space, for those who are helping us, for the larger supporters who support the larger group of supporters not in the monastery, who are supporting the monastery. And yeah, take advantage of these next 2 weeks. Really stay in the deep water. Really keep immersing. It's really helpful to keep immersing ourselves in the Dhamma, and again, not get too caught up in things ending or beginning. So I'll leave that for some contemplation tonight.